Today, the cash bang cowards can't hide the truth. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to this post covering finance and prop news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today I'm joined by Robbie Barwick. Hi, Robbie.
Hi, Martin.
So the old adventure continues.
It does. We've had incredible drama in the last 24 hours around the cash ban inquiry.
Yep.
The people trying to rig the inquiry have shown themselves to be true cowards, but the truth has nevertheless come out, and it was quite extraordinary to witness it today.
Absolutely. So just to get people to catch up, we got an email at 5:31 last evening from the Senate sort of committee, basically saying there is an inquiry in Canberra tomorrow, today, starting at 9 o'clock, right? So no chance to get there, no chance to, sort of sort out everything, despite the fact that it is a public inquiry.
I mean, they had a list of witnesses who would have all been notified more than a week ago that this event was on.
Yep.
Right. So they could notify the witnesses. They knew it was set in stone. They didn't notify the other participants. A lot of the 3,000 or so people who made submissions weren't notified at all. You had to have signed up for the notifications to get this notification. So that was only a subset of those. And they're notified after 5:30 the night before. Give me a break. Yeah. Right. So that's why we're calling them the cash ban cowards. These people do not want to intersect the public. So let me paint the picture of what was happening to me at the time, because there was two dramatic events today in my world. I was working with people that were at the Westpac AGM, right? And so I'm on the phone to people working out questions they can ask, and we'll do some reporting on that in the next few days. We might even do a separate post on it because there were some good questions asked. You can see videos on it. We're having these people are ringing me left, right, and center. And then 5:30 comes and I'm in the middle of a phone call and I get this other missed message from Dr. Wilson Tsai, who was at the Westpac thing today. Robbie, I just got this this message. There's going to be hearings in Canberra tomorrow. And my jaw drops, right?
Yep.
And how many people, we told people, ask for hearings, right? So this is a good development, finally holding hearings, but they're notifying us after 5:30 the night before. And I was genuinely flabbergasted. I thought I'd seen everything. So I thought, well, I'm not going to let this go unremarked. So I called the Senate committee phone number to ask them why are people being notified after 5:30. And when I called the number, guess what? It didn't answer. You know why it didn't answer? Because it was after 5:30.
They've all gone home.
No one's around. They knew what they were doing, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, it turns out because there'd been correspondence with the secretary of this committee a few weeks earlier when I was in Canberra, and in one of his emails he'd provided his mobile number, I called his mobile number. And I gave him a piece of my mind, right? And he chose to be bureaucratic in his response. I said, why are you notifying people after 5:30? And his answer to me was, this is Mr. Mark Fitt. His answer was, I'm not notifying anybody of anything. In other words, because I, Mark Fitt, haven't pushed the button, then I'm not responsible. And I have to confess, I said, cut the crap, Mark. And he hung up on me. I repeat it, cut the crap. Actually, Martin, I have before we give all the details, I have to say I thought about it afterwards, and I really wish I'd handled the call differently. If I had it over again, I'd call up and say, Mark, buddy, pal, you're the best friend this movement has ever had. The Australian people who are fighting the cash ban salute you because you are doing more to unite us as Australians around opposition to this than anybody ever could. Absolutely. If you're going to keep this kind of shenanigans, people are just going to become more and more aware and incensed at the treatment of the public and their their motivation to take on the government over this is just going to go through the roof.
Yeah, it's called the large target strategy, Robbie, I think, isn't it?
Yep. No, for sure, for sure. So anyway, that was the issue there, and we let it be known that we weren't happy. Now, here's what happened. As a result of the way they handled this, they had the hearing today, and I've been in this hearing room in the Australian Parliament. There's a series of committee rooms, and I was told which one this was, and I've been in that room. You could have probably had 50 people there, and instead there were 3 people there in the first hour.
Yep.
Whereas if we had been notified in advance, I mean, people who are watching this now, who are regular viewers and opposed to the cash ban, be confident that among you, the DFA viewers and Citizens Party supporters, etc., all the people who, the interests of the people, viewers, etc., that have been doing something about this, and the crypto community, everybody that have been fired up, we would have easily filled that hearing room, and every senator present would have been acutely aware that when the senators on the committee, when they're looking out, that all those people filling those seats would have been there because of their opposition to the cash ban. And of course, that's what they wanted to avoid, right? They do not want, they're trying to block the public from participating. And that's why today we put out actually a call for the parliament to sack the chairman, Slade Brockman, the Liberal Party chairman, and also sack this guy, Mark Fitt. They rubbish the number of submissions that they received, nearly 3,000. They just unilaterally, arbitrarily decided only 140 of them are submissions. The rest don't matter, right? We'll just pass them off as correspondence, refuse to publish them. And now they've deliberately notified people too late to participate in this hearing that they're holding, right? So that's why they're cash ban cowards. They have an agenda they want to get through and minimize the public interaction.
Yep. And there's a little sidebar before we get into the detail of what happened today. It was because, in fact, we know from a phone call at 8 a.m. this morning that, in fact, they're going to hold a hearing in Sydney in early January. All right. Now, those details have yet to be crystallized, but this is not the only hearing that they're planning.
Well, that is good to know. And the fact that that was made clear at 8 a.m. this morning indicates to me that's a reaction to the blowback from last night.
Absolutely. So I think it's all sort of consistent, right? So they realize maybe they can't get away with it. So we need to keep the pressure on.
Yep. They're covering their ass. But if covering their ass makes them do a proper inquiry, good.
Yeah, absolutely. But that said, you know, I have to say that having listened to the 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. discussions today, it was a revelation, really. I think there were some really good questions asked, and all of the major issues that we've been touching on were actually quite well covered.
Well, I agree profusely. There's a few things to highlight, but in general, it proved to be a very good hearing. Thanks to the presence of 2 people on the committee, Senator Rex Patrick from the Centre Alliance, who wasn't there for very long, had to be on the phone for part of it, but Senator Alex Gallagher from the Labor Party. I mean, he was brilliant. As soon as it was over, I called his office and told his staff to pass on the thanks of thousands of Australians for what he did. He's a laid-back guy. He wasn't there to grandstand. He was just asking questions, and he showed these, especially the government people, he showed them right up as empty suits. And all he wanted was evidence of the need for this to outweigh the negative impact it's going to have on law-abiding citizens. He just wanted the evidence, and they couldn't provide him any evidence. So this is a very good sign. The performance of this gentleman, Senator, he's from South Australia, Senator Alex Gallagher from the Labor Party, was brilliant, right? And if, if he's representative of what the Labor Party's going to do, then this ain't over. You know, I saw a comment last night when they were so clearly rigging this inquiry, you know, there's these latest shenanigans. People can think, oh, it's all over, it's all done. No, it's never over, right? You fight till the end, but this is a really good sign from the Labor Party.
Absolutely. And it's interesting that he did quite early on contrast the big end of town, the article in The Guardian today about all those multinational companies paying absolutely no tax, and the quantum you know, that effectively they're getting away with relative to the relatively small amount that we're talking about, right? Even if the numbers around the cash ban were anything like right, and we know they're not. So as well as the specific mechanical issues relating specifically to the cash ban and how it would work and, you know, would it actually create any value, there was also a contextual understanding as well in terms of the relative importance of this particular part of the discussion vis-a-vis the broader issues around, you know, tax just not being paid by the big end of town. So I think that's also a very good sign.
And didn't you and I highlight that very fact in the very first post we did on this subject back in August? You know, what happens is when you're up against when you're up against sort of like a monolithic mega power, like this vested financial interest that seem to be so powerful, they overreach, right? They bring themselves undone. I mean, the corruption has just brewed. So you got the contrast that isn't lost on people that Westpac today is holding an AGM where three of the board of directors are from KPMG, right, and sat there on the board while they participated in this incredible spree of criminality in this area, right, financial transactions to do with crime. That's supposedly what this cash ban's all about. They're overseeing it, they're ignoring it, and yet they're trained KPMG people who should have an expertise in monitoring that. And the government is trying to push through a bill that ignores all that and just pretends that that's not an issue. What they want people to believe, I spoke to a Labor MP today, and I got her attention when I made this point, that what the KPMG people pushing this bill want to convey is that the black economy is a blue-collar crime, not a white-collar crime. Right, we KPMG that evade trillions in taxes for the biggest corporations in the world, don't hold us responsible for anything. Go after nannies and gardeners and personal trainers and tradies and hairdressers that they single out in the Black Economy Task Force, and it's not washing. Right, there's been a Labor Party Senator, Deb O'Neill, has been very aggressive on the auditing inquiry, genuinely so. I know she is. And now Alex Gallagher has shown this, and it's the same reason that Pauline Hanson and Malcolm Roberts and Jackie Lambie voted against the union busting bill. The government's trying to push. They're not connecting to how enraged people are at the behaviour of the banks and the big end of town, right? Yep. The Liberal Party people I talk to here in Victoria that are up in arms about the cash ban and are really pushing it aggressively. One of the things that unites them is their hatred of the banks and how corrupt they've become, right? And this is the Liberal Party. Yet the party leaders are completely disconnected from that, right? Well, continue that as much as you like, but it's going to be your undoing, and I think we're seeing signs of that today.
Now, I
want to highlight, you'll have your own highlights, but I did want to contrast some of the discussion. The small business ombudsman was, very unenthusiastic about this bill, right? They pay lip service to whatever, that they may have some positive impact, but nothing can be quantified. It's all about, they're just really worried about the negative impact it's going to have on their customers. I didn't get to hear the farmers very much, but I know they're not keen on where it's going to go.
Well, it's interesting because the farmers basically said, look, we don't see a huge amount of cash transactions in most of the farming community, but nevertheless, they didn't really see the point of it. So,
and I think though that they also were explicit, their concern is negative interest rates, right? Because that's, the message has got out. You and John Adams first highlighted that, and people understand it because that's black and white. That's in the IMF's own information, right? And so that cannot be denied, and that message is getting through. The funeral directors was very interesting, and I thought it was quite powerful when the spokesman for the funeral directors pointed out how discriminatory this is to multicultural communities who perfectly legally prefer to use cash, right? And this law will be distressing to them at a very distressing time, right? They have a preference for it. And suddenly, as I said, centuries of tradition of using legal tender is supposed to be over. This is a really radical policy to overturn centuries of tradition, and the onus is on the victim. So you just change your ways, right? And so yeah, while we can, we'll always rationalise and say, oh, we don't use much cash anymore. There are times when it is used, and they're a particular niche industry that they see it, right? A lot of people, especially in multicultural communities, save up cash so they're not a burden on their family, and that's there to pay for the funeral when they die. And it's all clean, it's all done above board. As he said, he had this funny line that the funeral industry is hardly part of the black economy. Right? It's very much a final transaction. That ain't going anywhere else. So I thought that was quite powerful and effective in its own way.
Yep.
But then, Martin, we had the Uniting Church.
Yes.
Now, for some reason, correct me if I'm wrong, someone will, Phil, correct us in the comments. I don't think any other church made a submission to this inquiry, just one. So straight away, that's curious. Uniting Church never explains what its particular interest is. What perspective does it have through its activities that would give it an opinion on this? They didn't just make one submission. They made multiple submissions to every stage of the process. And each submission was the same, an enthusiastic endorsement of the policy. Bear in mind, by a church that doesn't pay tax, because it's a church, right? So, okay, put that little bit of hypocrisy aside. What I've talked to a bunch of people today, everyone noticed the same thing. This particular witness, and it's worth looking at, was incredibly aggressive and impassioned about his message, totally out of kilter with all the other witnesses, but also it just was inexplicable why this gentleman, Dr. Mark Zernsack, was so emotionally invested in this subject, right? And he was incredibly emotionally invested. And all it was a massive endorsement of the ban. And if anything, the only criticism was it didn't go far enough.
Yep.
He effectively said it should be much lower. Right, he rubbished the testimony of other witnesses. Right, it was a full-throated defence of the Black Economy Task Force. He was citing that report and European reports as if they were the gospel. This is all settled. The data is there, but all the questioning by Alex Gallagher showed what data? Where is it? I mean, the estimate of the Black Economy and the Black Economy Task Force is a guess. They guess. It was. They know it was measured as 1.5% of GDP by the ABS in 2011. They guessed by the time they wrote the report it had doubled.
Yeah, and right. By the way, that's the whole black economy. That isn't the cash ban bit.
That's right. Right.
Nobody knows what the cash ban bit is, you know, and what impact would be. It's a subset of a subset of an unknown number.
Yep. Now, it turns out that, you know, we're shrugging our shoulders thinking, what's the motivation of the Uniting Church? Well, it's hard to tell, but what we do know is they have a very close relationship with KPMG.
Ah.
KPMG is their auditor. KPMG oversees the management of the church's $1 billion investment fund. And Mark Zernsack in his testimony actually alluded to a personal relationship he had with the author of the Black Economy Task Force, Michael Andrew, who they all laud as this great guy, the only Australian to ever be the global head of a big four accounting firm, who wrote this report, who, I don't want to speak ill of the dead, but I'm just disgusted at the way he put the whole, that report, he claims the black economy is a blue collar problem and puts it all on ordinary small businesses rather than the people he represents. And I'm just, you know, I'll never get over being disgusted by that. Yet Mr. Zernsack, who's supposed to be all this social justice stuff with the Uniting Church, is a good buddy of him. So that is weird as, but frankly, he was the only one who had any passion for the bill, because when it came to the government witnesses, what did you think? I thought universally pathetic.
Weak as. Basically, the Reserve Bank doesn't know the size of the problem, right? They do know that there are quite a lot of people hold banknotes out of the banking system, which we knew that. That's perfectly legitimate, right? No real justification as to why the cash bank should have anything you know, any relevance to that. And then the Treasury guys basically were trying to peddle a barrow without any facts and figures and got into terrible, terrible confusion. So, for example, is multiple transactions up over 10,000 allowed or not if you do them, you know, each below? Because, of course, in the bill, it's quite clearly says if you do more than one, two or three and it goes above 10 grand, you're then pinged. Yeah. But he denied it. Right.
We know more about the law than they do.
Well, exactly. And presumably they were involved in drafting it. So, and interestingly, they had AUSTRAC right at the end, who basically tried to distance themselves from, you know, this whole thing. Said, well, we don't know quite, you know, we might get more information. And somebody asked, well, how many additional transactions would this actually create for you, bearing in mind that you missed Westpac's?
Was it something like 200 million transactions and they couldn't get the 23 million from Westpac? I almost thought the AUSTRAC representative was about to cry under Alex Gallagher's questioning, and he wasn't trying to be tough on her. He was just wanting to ask questions, get answers, and they couldn't give any. What that the afternoon session showed, there is zero data to back up any of this need for this bill. Big fat zero. It's all the Treasury guy said, and even I've been through the Black Economy Task Force report. I didn't appreciate this. They didn't do any surveys.
No.
They held town hall meetings. And now I want to find out what exactly the town hall meetings and where they were, because I wouldn't be surprised if they were in the boardroom of KPMG and a few people got around the table and one guy griped about the fact that as a small business, he has to compete with some other bloke who doesn't pay tax, and that's unfair on him. Because that's what it was. Oh, yes. We've got this evidence of gripes, and that's what we've got to solve.
And I was going to say, it's very interesting that the linchpin for the whole thing ultimately was around the fact that there are some people who basically are not being paid in cash, others are, and the ones who aren't being paid in cash can't give the same discount as the one who is paying in cash. Guess what? Because they pay bank fees and all the other charges, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, yes, that's the whole point, right? And I was very interested that, you know, they also, the senators discussed the concept of being caught in the banking system and having no alternative but to pay fees and charges. And they started asking the Reserve Bank, for example, well, so how big are the fees and charges, right? And the Reserve Bank sort of gave a half-hearted answer based on a very narrow set of data that they happened to have. But again, it just shows that this whole thing is completely so high level as to be meaningless, right? As soon as you start going down and trying to get detail to anchor it, how do you know if you were to do this whether you would actually get benefit or not? There's no way. And by the way, I will make one other point because I think it's really important, right? One witness, particularly the Uniting Church witness, basically claimed that this has been really successful in other environments around the world, right?
Yeah.
When in fact we know from the work that Melissa's done and indeed from the Small Business Omnibus comment earlier on that actually it has been very ineffective at actually doing anything, right? So basically it puts a whole lot of extra hurdles on people without actually achieving anything from a black economy perspective, because it's not really anything about the black economy really.
Well, and Rex Patrick and Alex Gallagher kept repeating, why didn't Treasury and the ATO, probably ATO, they had no clue, why didn't they make submissions on this? Because they didn't make any submission. The submission is where they have an opportunity to put all their data down there, do the homework, don't have to think of it under pressure or whatever, and they didn't do any of that. And they were found, and you saw why, because they were found wanting. And they kept asking about that all day. Why are we having this inquiry without any submissions from the chief authorities that are pushing this bill, right? And you see what? They got nothing.
And interestingly, the argument that is, well, we were part of the black economy, so therefore, you know, because we were involved in the process, as it were, of building the report, there was no point. But, of course, KPMG, they made a submission, and guess what? They were part of the...
Exactly.
Committee. So it's completely meaningless, and it's, as you say, because they have nothing to say.
Yep. What I would encourage people to take away from this, I mean, go to the Parliament website, and there's a place there. It's called Look and Listen, and you click on that, and you'll be able to find the archive video of this. And if you've got time, listen, go through it. You know, you can jump forward and different things. See some of this testimony. It's quite, if you haven't seen, it's quite enlightening. We'll try and grab some footage for our show. But the main takeaway is look at the performance of Rex Patrick and Alex Gallagher, and understand that the monotonous one note message that's come from this channel on this subject of make sure you make a submission, make sure you make phone calls, make submissions, etc. It works.
Yes,
that's what has got through to these gentlemen. They kept referring back to the amount of opposition they've received. They've obviously they did read submissions. I could tell. They read submissions, right? There's no way they read 3,000, but they read enough, right? I could tell that, and it made an impact. And they wanted these witnesses to prove that the supposed benefits of this bill would outweigh the impact that the people making submissions complained about, and they didn't get it. That the Australian public engaging with them motivated them and turned this into a very good hearing. And if that's the case, I'm looking forward to the next one where you can have even more motivation by having the room packed with people. We'll try and find out the details and publicise that well in advance. But that'd be a good way to start the new year. You have about 3 weeks before Parliament comes back, and we can really take this up a notch. But, you know, don't ever give up on this kind of fight, right? It ain't over. There's a lot of water under the bridge, and we know that we've got these some very key people quite fired up on this issue, and we have absolutely proved today. Because Treasury ain't going back. They've had their chance. RBA, you know, AUSTRAC, they've done their testimony, right? They got nothing to prove the need for this. And in terms of the argument, we've well and truly won. Now we just have to win the political fight.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's a very interesting situation where effectively, you know, yesterday I was thinking, well, what's going to happen? But actually, it was quite positive. So essentially, yep. We've got to keep the pressure on, so it's not too late. You know, pick up the phone and keep phoning the senators and the pollies, and make sure that they are aware that you know, if you're opposed the cash ban for all the reasons that we've discussed previously, we'll put a link to some of the previous shows just so you've got that there. It's still worth doing, right? The more pressure we can apply, the more likely it is that we're going to get the outcome that is the right outcome.
And please call Alex Gallagher and Rex Patrick. Just to leave a message with their office, thank them for what they did today. It was very important to give positive feedback. And hell, if you're feeling like it, call Mark Fitt and thank him as well.
Indeed, yes, he's certainly helping us along the way, isn't he? Yeah. Robbie, appreciate your time today, as always. We'll keep on this issue over the next little while, and we'll keep the pressure running. See you later.
Yeah,
cheers. Bye-bye. So there you have it. Really important message about the cash ban. It certainly isn't over yet. It's worth keeping the fight up, and we'll keep you informed as we go ahead. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you again next time.